Take your Bible tonight and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Luke chapter 16, verse 1 says, "And he said also unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man which had a steward." And this is your stewardship night, and your pastor's asked me to preach on stewardship, and so I'm going to preach on stewardship this evening. So pay close attention to this steward. "And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods." Underline wasted. Wasted his goods. "And he called him and said to him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account." Underline it. "Give an account of thy stewardship," underline it, "for thou mayest be no longer steward." Those are terrible words. It says, "Give account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward." I want to say this to you tonight. Every one of you here, you're a steward. Every one of you. You say, "I'm a steward of what?" You're a steward of everything God's given you. And you know what God's given you? He's given you everything.
That's right.
Everything you've got from Him.
Yeah.
It all belongs to Him.
That's right.
He's got it all. It's all His. You say, "Preacher, wait a minute. I earned some of that." You didn't earn nothing that God didn't give you the ability to earn. God gives you breath to breathe. So you're a steward of everything God's given you. And so one of these days, you're going to give an account of that stewardship. He says, "Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward." Now, you'll say, what's that stewardship of? Tonight, I want to preach on the stewardship of this right here. I want to be the stewardship of that right there. I'm going to talk about the stewardship of your money. Now, I could talk about 1,000 things you're a stewardship of. And you are a stewardship. You're a stewardship of your children. You're going to have to give an account of what you did with your children. You're a stewardship of your wife. You men are. You're a steward. You say, "I'm a steward." Sure are. You're a steward. You have to give account of that. But I'm going to talk about that right there. And you know when I talk about that, you know something? I'm going to touch you tonight. Because I know when you start talking about that thing right there, you get to them. Now, you may go over their heads on some other subject, but when you talk about that subject, you're going to get home. Why? You say, why do you say that? Bible says the love of money is the root of what?
All evil.
All evil. So I'm not going to miss any of you here tonight. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get every one of you, brother. Every one of you. So I want to talk about that, and I'm going to talk about it this evening. I'm talking about you putting money in the plate when it's handed out. You don't have no plates up here. I don't see them. You hand out plates, don't you? You got them? He got them. Thank you, brother. Thank you. They're there in the back. You say, what is that? That's money. I'm talking about money. Don't ask me to spell it. I'm talking about money. I will. M-O-N-E-Y?
Yeah.
Huh? I don't do that because I usually mess it up. I'll tell you something. Christian, your account of the money that God's given you. God's given you all the money you have. It comes from the Lord. Amen?
Yeah, right.
All right. Now, number one, I'm talking about giving to this local church that you're going to. I'm talking about here, if you're a visitor here tonight and you're not a member of this church, take it to heed. I trust that you're a member somewhere. And if you're not here and you're lost, don't get too worried about it because I'm not talking to you anyway. Because the money you give to God don't count anyway. It amounts to absolutely nothing. And in fact, if you give money and you're lost, it's just a thing that'll put another coffin in your coffin going to hell, brother. It won't save you, and if you give $1 million a week, it'll still go to hell. God cares nothing about it. He doesn't give you that much iota. And in fact, the best thing for you to do is stop giving.
if you're lost. Amen, brother? Stop giving and start trusting Him to save you and stop trusting you've given to save you. Now, that's what folks do. The lost people give, you know that? But they're counting in it to save them. Now, I trust you're not doing that. And you say, why'd you say that? Just in case somebody happens to be lost here. I trust there's nobody lost here. Amen, brother? I trust they didn't sneak in the back. Amen. Because they get to talking like this and they go out and lambast the preacher because he's always nailing their hide about giving. They'll go, somebody, if they snuck in, if you're a lost man, you stuck in here tonight, you say, all those folks talk about is giving. I didn't expect you to be here. Amen. I didn't expect you to be here. Or I wouldn't have preached it. Amen. I preached something else. All right, now, number one, take your Bible and I want you to see something. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now, look at the verse. Now, I'm going to go till I'm through tonight, so just hang on. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 16, 1. Now, concerning the collection, underline the word, collection. You know what that is? That's given, given, given. That's money, money, money. That's what it is. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the what? Churches of Galatia. Churches. Then what is this? This is an offering given under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and He's given it to what? The local church. Then what I'm talking about is I'm talking about the collection that's taken up on Sunday morning or Sunday night. Or Wednesday night. You say that's what you're talking about? That's the exact thing that it's talking about. Now let's see something about it. What about it? Verse 2. Upon the first day of the week tells you when he's doing it. No doubt about it. Amen? No doubt about it. First day of the week. What does he say? Even so do ye. Now I'll make it. Verse 2. And upon the first day of the week, let what? Now underline those two words there. Everyone. Now, who is that? Does that mean just this side over here? Does it mean just this side over here? Does it mean everyone? Or does that mean just those that can afford it? Does that mean just those that have, that are rich and got a big income? Does it mean everyone? You know what I find? I have never found a church yet that I've ever had any connection with where every single Christian gave faithfully every Sunday. There's some of them miss it. Now, thank God I don't know who I'm preaching to. I don't know who you are. I've never seen the books. Have a brother? I ain't never seen him, boy. I couldn't tell you who they are. I don't even look at my own, let alone somebody else's. I don't even know what jobs you have. I don't know who I'm pointing my finger at. But I'm liable to be preaching to... Now look at the verse in front of you. It said every Christian is supposed to give. All of them. You say, not me, preacher. You see, when you say not me, you know what you're saying? You're saying, I have a problem. You see that? When you say, not me, preacher, you're saying, wait a minute, are you special? No, you're not special. You know what the problem is? You need to see your problem. I'm not preaching this to hurt you. I'm preaching this to help you. Because when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, I want you to come out the better, not the worst. Amen. And so I want you to start giving, and I want you to start giving faithfully, says everyone. Now see it again. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and look at verse 7. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and look at verse 7. Now see it again. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. What does the first two words say? Every man. There it is again. Every man. Then when God works, He wants every one of you to give. You say, given, but preacher, I don't make as much as so-and-so does. Bible says they comparing themselves among themselves are thereby not wise. You're not to compare yourself with him.
You're to compare yourself with Jesus Christ and say, okay, Lord, he's given me this. I'm a steward of this. When you get to the judgment seat of Christ, I don't have to give account of your stewardship. I have to give account of my stewardship. So that's the one I have to give account of. All right, everyone. All right, again, now, look at Acts chapter 20. I want to encourage you with this. Acts chapter 20 and look at verse 35. Now, here's a text that many Christians forget in their giving. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. In verse 35 it says, Acts chapter 20, verse 35, I have sown unto you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whose words are they? The Lord Jesus Christ. Put yourself back in Galilee. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Or in Jerusalem, or back in the land of Palestine, and looking at Jesus about 5 feet away from him, and looking him in the eye, and he says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I want to remind you by the words of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved your soul from hell. He said to you that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And you know something? We have it the other way around. It's more blessed to get than to give. You with me? That old human nature says, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And it's more fun to get than to receive. You know what you do when you say that? You make a liar out of Jesus Christ. He is no liar. He said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Again, take your Bible. I want you to look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 now. Turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and let's pick up verse 15 in the passage now. Christians, I know Christians give, and they have all kinds of excuses for why they cannot give. And they make up excuses why they can't. And I hear them. You know one of the excuses why a Christian can't give? I'm too poor to give. I'm too poor to give. You know something? If you make a dollar a week, and you take out one dime. Listen to me, young people, right here on this front row, right here. If you make a dollar a week, you give the Lord a dime. You give him a dime, 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 and you give him a dime. You get an allowance? How much allowance do you get? Do you get an allowance? You get an allowance? You get one? You get one? You get one? Do you get an allowance? No, you don't. You're all in the same boat. Pray for an allowance. But you get the point. You get the point. You say, preacher, I'm just too poor to give. If God gives you $50, give him $10. You say, well, preacher, that's a bug. It don't matter. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive him. I've never made enough salary for my church to pay my bills since I've been preaching for 25 years. I have never. But you know something? I've paid every single one of my bills. Every one of them. How's it come in? Just seems to come in. I don't know how. It just seems to come in. Just seems to be there. When I figure, well, how am I going to do it this month? I don't know. You say, you worry about it? Sure. Sure. Don't you worry about paying your bills? If you don't worry about paying your bills, you better. I worry about paying mine. You know something? I've given above a tithe since I've been saved. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Look at here. Philippians chapter 4. Now look at it again. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 15. Now ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me. Now underline the word church. No church. You know what church that is? That's a local church. That's this local church or any other local church. No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. You know something? Why? Paul's talking about folks, churches giving him and helping him. He said, no church did it with this church right here. Why? Folks giving to their church. You with me? You get fed in this church. That preacher feeds you. That preacher feeds you. These men feed you. You get fed spiritually here. Then you ought to give here.
Amen.
You're a member of this church, and you don't give. Well, preacher, I don't think I ought to give to this church. I'm a member here, but I don't think I ought to give. Then you don't belong to this church. You say, how to get? Wait a minute. If it's good for you, it's good for your money. You say, preacher, I give my money to another church. You mean to tell me that church over there deserves your money and this church here does not deserve your money? But you're here and you're getting fed here, but your money belongs over there. There's something wrong. If this church is not good enough for your money, it's not good enough for you. It ain't good enough for you. Why? I say, I shouldn't say this in another guy's church, but I'm gonna say it because I believe it. If you can't give to this church and it ain't good enough for you, you need to get out of it. I believe that. Go to another church where you can get something that'll match your money and it'll be worth it. Sure, amen, brother. Paul says, I have sown, and is it a big thing to you that I have sown unto you spiritual things and reaped from you carnal things? And that's what he said in 1 Corinthians. It's no big thing. It's no big thing that he's reaped them. Why? He sowed to you spiritual things. You sowed to him carnal things. That's what God said.
Right.
Again, look at Philippians chapter 4 and look at verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again into my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire what? Fruit, 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 fruit. Then the first thing about giving with your money in the plate is it proves that you're bringing forth fruit for God. You got saved. And the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. Then when a man gets saved, you know what's going to do? He ought to bring forth some fruit. Be fruitful. How fruitful would it be a tree? You plant a fruit tree in your backyard. You plant one, you plant a cherry tree, and you plant an apple tree, and you plant a peach tree back there, and four or five of them, and you get little seedlings like this, and you grow up, and they grow up in 4 or 5 years, or 5 or 6 years, and 7 or 8 years, and you think, boy, I'm going to get some fruit off of those. Boy, that's nice. Come on, you with me?
Yeah.
And then you go out there about the 7th year, and you say, boy, I'm really going to get some fruit this year. Now's the time. No fruit. Oh, I must have done something wrong. You spray it, and you dig around it, and you work on it. No fruit. 8th year, no fruit. 9th year, no fruit. 10th year, no fruit. 12th year, no fruit. And you go out there, you say, you stupid tree, I'm going to cut you down.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
You got it? How do you suppose the Lord feels about you when he comes out and says, no fruit? He's got to, there should be some fruit from him giving some fruit. Giving is bearing fruit for God.
Yeah.
Be fruitful. John Scribner, my assistant in my church over there in Kalispell, his dad come one morning, and his dad was sitting back there, and his dad's about 45 years old. No, 55, somewhere in there. And he gets up out of his chair, and I'm preaching a message. And I preached on Easter morning a message on salvation. If you die and go to hell, who cares? And he got up out of that, amen. And he got up out of that aisle and says, I care. And as he walked down that aisle, he started bawling. Big fella, kind of balls and kind of not kind of stocky like that. And he'd bawl and come down there. And I said, Mr. Scribner, you want to receive Jesus as your Savior? He said, I sure do. I believe I'm going to hell. I don't want to go. And I bowed there, and he bowed there and prayed, and he asked Jesus to save him. And he went home. He didn't even live in this Kalispell. He lived over in Spokane. And he went back to over Spokane. A couple of months went by, and he wrote out a check and says, I want to do something for the church. And he writes out a check for $7,000 and pays the church building off. You say, what is that? He's bearing fruit. He's bearing fruitful. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians? When you give, you're bringing fruit for God Almighty. Are you bringing any fruit? You giving any? You want to, you know what I think the problem is? I think the problem is you're just stingy. You know what you are? You're tight, you squeak. Amen, brother? You're just tight. When you don't walk like that, you just kind of squeak, 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 squeak. And the plate just goes by and goes squeak, 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 squeak right on by you. That's your problem. You know what you need to do? You need to get the victory over that there money problem. And bear some fruit. Isn't it wonderful to go out and look at a bunch of trees and say, oh boy, apples, 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 apples. How many got an apple tree? How many have access to an apple tree? There you go. There you go. I got y'all, boy. Mm-mm. Got y'all. You know what you need? Isn't it wonderful? How many have access to a cherry tree? Cherry, get up and pick a whole bunch of them cherries. Mm-mm. And you know something? You enjoy that, but you don't let the Lord enjoy it. See? You enjoy it. Why don't you let Him enjoy it? Why don't the next time the plate goes by, you just jerk out and say, Lord, I can't afford it, but there it goes. There you go again, Lord. And the Lord, you know what the Lord's doing? He's going, you say, bearing fruit for God? Yes. You say, why? Otherwise, that Bible's a liar. He said, bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. For what? For God. Because you've been born again.
Yes,
Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Now, look at verse 17 again. Not because I desire a gift. Some folks would say that. You know, I'll bet they said that about it. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your what? Your account. You know what that is? That's a bank account up in heaven. And that's a bank account up in heaven. And God keeps good bank accounts. He's up there and he's got a set of books. I don't know where they're at. But he's got a set of books somewhere. And he's up there and he's got his pen and he's writing down. He's probably not doing it. Has one of the angels up there. And saying, you got to keep in track. Keep in track. Track right there. It is there. He's getting behind. He's getting behind, Lord. Yes, he is. Lord, he's way behind. Lord, he's at least 2 years behind. Ooh, he's right, brother. You know what happened? My brother-in-law is a saved Christian, and he got crossways with the Lord, got backslidden, quit going to church, quit giving, got out of church for about 7 years. And then he come along and he wanted to sell his house, and nobody would buy it. He couldn't sell that big old house, and he wanted to move out of it and get another house, and nobody would buy it. And he said, Lord, if you'll sell my house, I'll get back in church, and I'll give 7 years back tithe. He sold it the next day. He sent me a check for $7,000 to our church. For seven, he said, this is a back tithe. You say, what's that guy doing? He knows that God's keeping books. fruit that may abound to your account. You got that? To your account. He's just going down there and just right now. So took it. He caught up, Lord. You know what's wrong with a whole lot of Christians? They don't believe what the book says. This old preacher, you're just preaching that. That ain't my book. That ain't my book. Why don't you just take it to heart and say, okay, Lord, I believe the book too. You got an account there and you're keeping track, Lord. And I'm going to start giving faithfully every Sunday, every Sunday, every Sunday, every Sunday, every Sunday. So when the time comes and we need some money to do something, it's there. Amen. Amen, brother.
Right.
You might want to buy a building here and buy a piece of land over there and buy a piece of land over there. And the Lord says, well, there's not enough money. There might be if everybody was given faithfully and consistently and on time every Sunday and not miss a one. There would be. Amen, brother. There would be. There would be. Again, look at it. Look at Philippians chapter 4. And this time, look at verse 18. But
I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus those things which were sent from you. Said, you sent them over? I got them. Praise the Lord. Everything's okay. You got that? Now look at this. An odor. You know what an odor is? An odor is a smell. It's a smell, and every time a Christian, every time the plate is handed down the aisle, every time the plate goes down this aisle right here, up goes the smell. And it says, an odor, what kind of odor? A sweet smell. So you know what the Lord's doing? The Lord's going. How many of you men like a lady to smell nice?
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
How many of you get around a lady and you go, mm-hmm. Come on. Yeah. Or you go around and she's, oh, just, I mean, everything just right, and you go, yeah, just, she smells nice. Come on. Yeah. You, hey, you ladies. You get around a man, he goes, and you get around him, you go, come on. Come on. You, let me ask you, how do you think the Lord smells? And you say, well, preacher, do you know what the Lord's doing on Sunday morning when the plate's gone? He's going, he's going, he goes, ah, who do I like that? Woo-hoo! I like that. Yeah. Or he's going, Then he said, a sweet smell. A sweet smell. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. I do. I do. I do. It's a sweet smell to God Almighty, and that's what he's looking for. And some Christians never believe the book. Next time the plate hands by, you reach in your billfold and you say, Lord, how do I smell this morning? You say, it's wow. That's what that book says. And he's talking about giving. What he's talking about. And then he goes on to say, he says, a sweet smell. And he says, a sacrifice. A sacrifice. You know, over there in the Old Testament, there's two fellows that made a sacrifice. One was Cain and one was Abel. And Abel went up and he made a sacrifice and Cain made a sacrifice. And you know what he did with Cain's sacrifice? He didn't do nothing with it. You know what he did with Abel's? That fire come out of heaven and that fire come down and says, I accept the blood of my lamb. A sacrifice. You say, how is my giving a sacrifice? You're over here and you're figuring your bills out and you say, well, Lord, I really can't afford this. And I got to pay this and I got to pay this and I got to pay this and I can't really afford it. It's a sacrifice.
Right.
You see that?
Yeah.
Take God right off the top.
Yeah.
Don't take his off the bottom.
Yeah.
Take his off the top. You see, what do you mean, preacher? It's just like this. Lord first. There's yours right there, Lord, and this bill here, and this bill here, and this bill here, and this bill here, and there's not enough left over. So I'm not going to take the Lord's off because then there would be enough left over. That ain't smart. That's dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb. Hey, man, can't you see that? Take his right off the top. And then say, okay, Lord, I got yours off the top. I haven't got this one, this one, this one, this one, or this one. And Lord, there's not enough to go over, so I expect you to take care of it. You see? And then you say, okay, how am I going to do that? Walk by faith. It says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. See, the problem is you don't want to walk by faith. You want to walk by sight. Do you want to walk by faith or walk by sight? Oh, the blessing you miss by not walking by faith. And go through the Christian, you know what half of the Christian life is just walking by faith. Say, okay, Lord, here I go. You know what God does? God loves a man a walk in the dark.
See, your problem is, oh, if I took the Lord's off the top, yeah, you'd have to walk by faith.
Yeah.
Many men can't walk by faith.
That's right.
You say, well, what would I do? It'd force you into it. It'd force you into it, see? You say, well, preacher, I got 1,000 in the bank over here and 1,000 in the bank over here and 1,000 in the bank over there and 1,000 in the bank over there. You know something? You're going to have a fit walking by faith. You know why? Because you'll say, money will do it. Money will do it. Money will take care of it. Money. All I have to do is just take it out of the bank. Boy, it's awful quiet in here. All of a sudden, you folks must have some money in the bank. You saving up for a rainy day? God will give you a rainy day. That's what Ruckman said. Save up for a rainy day and be sure God will give you a rainy day. You say, what is it, preacher? I'll tell you something. There's nothing wrong with being prepared, but I'll tell you something. You better learn how to walk by faith.
Yeah.
In your Christian life, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. He says in the passage, in verse 18, he said a sacrifice. What else did he say? Acceptable. Acceptable. He never accepted Cain's sacrifice. He did not accept it. You know something? When you give, he'll say, that's a sacrifice I will accept.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
You know, there are a lot of things in life God won't accept. You know that? God will just stick his nose up and say, forget it, fella. Forget it. When you give right before God, he said, that's a sacrifice. I'll accept it. Woo!
Yeah.
You know what you ought to do? When that plate comes by, don't you miss it, Sunday. Don't you miss it. You get it and you say, Lord, here it is, right off the top. Lord, faithfully, ever Sunday, never miss a Sunday, never miss a Sunday, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You know, I got the schismatic givers. Couple of Sundays, miss 3 or 4 Sundays. Couple of Sundays, miss 3 or 4 Sundays. Those are the schismatic givers. Suppose the Lord treated you that way. Huh? I mean, over here, drink going by. Now it's this side. Schismatic. I'm going to be that way with you. Boy, would you say, no, Lord, that ain't fair. Right. Lord, why do you do it? Well, wait a minute. You wouldn't treat other folks that way. Why do you treat the Lord worse than you treat other folks? Tell me. How come you treat... Let me ask you. You say, preacher, I wouldn't do that to other folks. Then don't do it to the Lord. Don't do it to him. It says a sacrifice, it's acceptable, it's well-pleasing to God. Woo! It'll please him. Make him happy. Well-pleasing to him. Look here, you'd like to make this preacher happy, wouldn't you? How many of you like to please him? How many of you like to say, if he'd get up Sunday morning and say to you, brother, you did a very good job on some particular thing. Wouldn't it make you feel good? Come on, now, wouldn't it? Or if he got up Sunday morning and says, oh, yeah, oh, what a mess. Come on. Wouldn't you say, oh, no, wouldn't you just kind of eye down and say, oh, man, well, you're right, I messed up. My Savior said, my book says about my Lord, he said, it's well-pleasing. You when that plate goes by and you put in yours, he goes, I can't ball. You see? And you miss it? And you miss it? Don't miss it! Don't miss it. Take your Bible again and turn to 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's in there quite a place, man. I'll tell you, it's through there and through there and through there and through there. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You and I'm absolutely sure of, God has designed keeping the local church, which is God's business and God's work, and he designed it to give by God's people given. Now, he didn't say, now, I want all you folks
to put on a great big fancy something other to get all your money. You know how he designed it? He said, we're going to hand a plate out, and that's the way I want you to do it.
That's right. Yeah.
You said, who said that? The Lord said it, and he wrote it down in the book.
Yeah.
You see that? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, the whole thing's talking about giving. I look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you with the grace of God, underline the word grace, bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that a great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy, and underline it, their deep what? Poverty. You know who that is? That's a whole bunch of Christians in their deep poverty, and they're given with joy. And they're too poor to give. Did it say deep poverty? Sure did. Here's, you know, some, I've heard that excuse time after time after time after time. I'm too poor to give. I'm too poor to give. I'm too poor to give. No such thing. No such thing. Look at here. If you only made $1 a week and you gave a dime, you would give the same as the fellow that made $1,000 a week and gave, what is a tenth of a thousand? 100. I mean, there's $1, a 10 cents, there's 1,000, there's 100. You see that? Okay, let's say you make 5,000 a week. That would be what? 500. What would be easier to give, the dime or the 500? The dime is easier to give than the 500. Don't you know that? You've never had that money, much money in your hand then. Wait till you get 5,000 big ones in your hand, buddy. Like that. And then say, Lord, I'm going to give you 500 right off the top. Or if I got $1 in my hand, a dime. Come on. What if God put $1,000,000 on you? What's 10% of a million? 100,000. Would you come on and say, Lord, there's 100,000. Would you say, there's 100,000. You see? You see? That money's the problem, isn't it? That money's the problem. Some folks that drive these nice cars, they live in nice houses, and they live high on the hog, low on the chicken. Don't give as much as these fellows that don't have nothing, and they give more. Some poor folks give more than a fellow that's got a lot. You say, what's the problem? The problem's down in here. The problem's down in here. It ain't rich or poor. It's on the inside. That you got to deal with the problem. You got to look on the inside of you and say, Lord, my giving doesn't match right. Lord, help me give. Help me give more. Too poor. Too poor. Now, I could just keep right on going down through the passage there, but I want you to skip down and I want you to look at verse 8. I want you to look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. Now, watch this. To prove the sincerity of your love. Who are you proving it to? To God. To Him. You're going to prove something to Him. What? You saying, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because I never give. You love Him, do you? You love Him, huh? Want to bet? You and I think you just mouth it. You just mouth it. You say you love Him. If you love Him, put your money where your mouth is, fella. I can tell what a fella loves, what he spends his money on. You tell me what you spend your money on, and I'll tell you what you love. Because that's what you say. What do you love, preacher? I'm a Bible-olic. I just go out and buy a Bible.
Go out and buy a Bible. Go out and buy a Bible. My Bible, my wife says, you got 52 Bibles. What are you going to buy another one for? 52 Bibles. And I go buy another one. And I buy another one. You say, you'll never get over it? I probably won't. I probably won't. But I'll tell you something. It sure beats spending some money on some of the things you get.
Yeah, right.
Amen, brother. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do when these things get real scarce. And there are just very few of these King James authorized versions around. And it's going to come. I'm going to say, I got some. And then you're going to say, let me have one. I'll say, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. You're going to have to memorize Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8, and 9, and 10. And you'll say, all those chapters? I'll say, all of them. And then your sweater will break out, and you'll say, okay, it's with it. Maybe you'll say that. Maybe you won't. Maybe you don't care about the book anyway. You follow it? It says to prove the sincerity of your love. You love him? Let me ask you something. Look at the next verse. Next verse says, for we know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet for your sake he become poor. So the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says Jesus Christ left all the glory of heaven. All the glory of heaven itself, and I bet that was some glory, and come down to this sin-cursed world and become what? Poor. For what? And he died on the cross of Calvary for what? For you. And let me ask you something. And you can't give? Jesus Christ paid for your sins on the cross of Calvary. All your dirty, rotten, filthy sins. All of them from beginning to end. And you still can't give? You said, well, preacher, that's a rough thing you put on my... I didn't write that book. That book's not mine. God said, because Jesus Christ died for your sins, therefore you ought to be a giver. There's two kinds of people in this world. There's the givers and there's the receivers. There's the givers and there's the getters. Only two kinds, brother. The givers and the getters. Now, what kind are you? What kind are you? You're going to say, my Lord, I haven't been given faithfully and dependably and consistently, but Lord, I'm going to start giving and I'm not going to miss a lick till I hear the trumpet sound. You say, what for? Because you said so in your word. You believe that book?
Believe it.
Did it tell you the truth? Did it change one word?
No.
Then be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Some of you are going to walk out that door and say, great message, preacher. Great message. And you're going to forget it. Come Sunday, you won't remember it. You won't remember it. You know why? Because you got the book here instead of here. Put it down here and say, okay, Lord, here it is, here it is, here it is. Take your last of all, I'll say one more thing. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians. And turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and look at verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. And this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he prospers in his heart. Not what?
Grudgingly.
Not grudgingly. You know what not grudgingly is? Grudgingly is saying, okay, Lord, okay, I gotta give, okay, I will, all right. That's grudgingly. That's grudgingly. Now, what do you got to grudge him for? I mean, what has he done for you? How many jams has he got you out of? How many failures has he straightened up for you? How many messes has he taken and tipped you out of? I bet he keeps you from a car wreck 3 or 4 times a week. How many had a close call at least once last year? A close call. Lord saved your hide. Saved your hide, brother. You say, oh, the Lord didn't. That's where your problem is. That's where your problem is. Looky here. He saved you. Why, brother, you ought to give cheerfully.
Yeah.
It said in the verse, for not of necessity, for God loveth the what? Cheerful giver. Give a cheerful giver. You say, what's the problem? You don't have the victory. You don't have the victory in your life, so you're giving grudgingly. You know what I say? Go ahead and give grudgingly. It's better than nothing. But it still ain't right. I mean, I'm not recommending that you don't give just because you haven't got the victory in it. Just because you don't have the victory in your life and you're just, everything's just a miserable mess. It ain't a miserable mess. The Lord's been good to you. And he's gracious to you. You could be dead right now. And in hell. You say, preacher, I don't think it looks that way. You see, you look at it just wrong. You look at it all totally wrong. You could be dead and in a lake of fire right this minute. You know that? And yet some folk just, good message, preacher. You preach it, you got them.
Yeah.
You're the one I'm talking to. You're the one I'm trying to get. See, you know what you need to do? You need to say, a cheerful giver, because God loves a cheerful giver. Now, does he love every saint of God? Sure he does. Romans chapter 8 says, for whom God, for all things work together for good to them that what? Love God. That's every Christian.
Amen.
Every Christian. God loves you. Every Christian. Then why did he say he loves a cheerful giver? You know why? Because God has just a little bit more love for that cheerful giver. Just a little bit more extra for him. He loves a Christian that doesn't give right. And grudgingly, he loves him too. But not like he loves that Christian and say, oh, Lord, you've been so good to me. Lord, you've taken care of me. Lord, you're so good. Here it is. Woo! There it is, Lord. That's a cheerful giver. You know what? I want the Lord, you say, that love, that little bit of love. Yeah, because I might need that little bit of love just sometime or another with my stupidity and my selfishness and my me. You with me?
Yes, sir.
And about that time, I said, well, Lord, you took care of me and I took care of you. And now, and you can't play that. You say, Lord, you took care of me, but what did I do for you? Yeah. What did you do for him? I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to give cheerfully unto him. All eyes closed and all heads bowed. Christians praying tonight. He loves a cheerful giver. Start right now. I don't care if you've been saved 1 week. I don't care if you've been saved 1 week. Start right now. I don't care if you've been saved 20 years. Start right now. I don't care if you're young. I don't care if you're 8 years old or 5 years old or 6 years old. If you're saved, start right now. Start your giving right now. I don't care if you're 90 years old. Start right now. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. I don't care if you're a boy or a girl. Start right now. Now, some of you here this evening, and I didn't want your preacher to look around. I don't want anybody to look around. I don't want anybody to lift your head and look at anybody. I want you to search your own heart. Right now, with every eye closed and every head bowed, I want you to say, preacher, Pastor Bemis, I won't see you maybe for a long time. I may never see you before the trumpet sounds. But I want you to pray for me that my giving will be like it ought to be, if not like it ought to be.